Good morning. I think you're the fellow people who stayed up late last night to welcome in the new year. It's the second service. It's a little fuller this year. All right. Well, my name is Pastor Dave. I am the community outreach pastor here, and it is my privilege to be teaching from God's Word with you today. And we're going to continue our series in Matthew. And we're going to pick up where we left off before we took a break for the Christmas season. And that is the Lord's Prayer. So we're in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at the most amazing prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. So the Lord's Prayer is often seen as a formal, liturgical, lofty prayer. Well, before I was a Christian, when I was first introduced to the Lord's Prayer, that's kind of how it sounded. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But really, when you look at it and you study it, as we're going to do together, it's not formal. It's fairly informal. It's not a long prayer. It's a very short and concise and powerful approach to prayer. Jesus didn't say, repeat after me. He said, pray this way, pray like this. And so as we dive in, I hope you're ready and excited to start your new year as we engage with prayer together under the direction and the leadership of Jesus' teaching for prayer. I was just talking to the Resource Center. You know, the most sold subject of all the books that we sell at the Resource Center are books on prayer. It seems like there is a hunger and a desire and a readiness for my brothers and sisters in this church to dive deeper and to go further into prayer together. So let's do that. Before we start, let's read the passage together. And so I would like all of you to rise. We're going to be reading from the English Standard Version. The words will be on the screen, and we will read it together. All right. All right, let's read this together. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. You may be seated. So how are you doing with prayer today? Think about this past year. How are you doing with prayer? If you were to think of what is it that maybe prevents you or has gotten you stuck in prayer? I've talked to a number of people in thinking through this, and I've really narrowed down four reasons that often prevents people from prayer. So we're actually going to do a live poll, a live survey. So go ahead and pull up that live survey. It looks like people have already started voting on this, all right? Some people jumped the gun. So if you have a cell phone, go ahead and take your cell phone out. And I want you to enter into this poll. What is the thing that maybe trips you up the most in just holding you back from prayer? So the first one is, it doesn't change God's mind, right? I have a high view of God's sovereignty. He is in control of all things. And even Jesus, when he's instructing people to pray, he's saying, your Father knows what you need even before you ask it. And what's the question that goes in the back of the head? Well, if he already knows what I need, and he already has his plan, then why even ask it? Some of us get tripped up with this thought that, well, I'm not going to change God's mind. And so we often say things like, well, you know, it's not about changing God's mind or asking God to do something. It's really about prayer being a way for God to change you. Where's the Bible verse for that? It seems a little bait and switchy, right? If Jesus says, ask God for this, pray this, he's not saying, ask to be changed, okay? So if that trips you up, go ahead and put in A. Just type in A in your text. Send a text to 888-597-5432. All right, Second one, maybe this is tripping you up, that your needs really aren't important. How many people felt, I probably shouldn't pray for Ohio State to win? Because God has bigger fish to fry, and honestly, the other side's praying too. And sometimes we don't pray because we're like, you know, our needs and the things that we would ask God for, really, God's got bigger fish to fry. He's got a bigger plan at work. And I'm not going to pray for the parking spot. Right? I'm not going to, and honestly, the big things, I kind of take care of myself. The Lord's Prayer, give me today my daily bread. I actually have everything I need, at least for the month. My bills don't come to the end of the month, so I'm not going to bother God with. So that's you, put in B. C is, I literally don't know what to say. I literally don't. How many of you are like me? If you're praying with a group and other people are praying, you're not praying with them. You're actually thinking about what? When it's my turn, what I'm going to say. And you're like rehearsing. How many people do that? Okay, don't raise your hand. Oh, I see some hands. I'll just raise my hand. I'm just, okay? Some of us do that. And if that's you, instead of raising your hand, put C, all right? You don't know what to say. And how many of you get caught up with the Christian lingo, all right? When I came to Christ, it was in high school, and people were saying things like, give that person travel mercies, and bless these donuts to the nourishment of our bodies and put a hedge of protection around that person. And I'm like, why do we need shrubbery to protect us? Like, how does that work? Okay? So you get tripped up with words. And some of you, this is also me, you just get too distracted. You can get started praying, but you have that shiny object syndrome and you're thinking about how hungry I am, what plans I have in the future. Or if really I should pray for the Ohio State or not. So, all right, so whatever it is, go ahead and put it in. It looks like D's in the lead. So if you haven't voted, go ahead and vote, and we're going to continue. Let's start our time. Let's pray together. I think that's a good idea. Let's do that. All right, join me in prayer, friends. Father God, you are awesome. You are perfect. You are a powerful king. You are over the world, and you brought us into your family through your son, Jesus. God, I pray that you would drop your kingdom purpose, your will, your desires into our hearts right now. I pray that it would be made real for us. God, that your heart and your will and your kingdom purpose for our city, for our nation, for our world, I pray that you would execute that and that you would bring it to bear in our lives and those around us. And so we ask, God, that you would equip us, prepare us right now in this moment. God, I pray that no one here would escape your forgiveness that you're offering them today. God, I pray that no lingering hurt, no haunting memory, no personal mistake would slip past your forgiveness today, which you offer in this prayer. And God, let forgiveness be shared and extended to all who've wronged us, and rescue us from our proclivity to hold it back, rescue us from ourselves, rescue us from Satan, rescue us from temptation, bring us to the other side of the trials which we're going to face, because we know that the evil one trembles at the coming of your kingdom. His time is short, and you are on your throne. So we give this moment and we give this year to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Simple way to pray, the way Jesus taught it, is what I call, what we call, the handy guide of prayer. Who here knows the handy guide of prayer? Sweet, I get to teach all y'all. Okay, this is going to be interactive. So, any kids here? No kids? Anyone who can't drive? Shout. You can't drive. Who else can't drive? Anyone else can't drive? I see some hands. All right, I'm going to need your help too, all right? Everyone, I want you to hold your hand up. Here's the, everyone, even if you can drive. All right, cool. Don't, and if you're listening online, don't do this while you're driving, please. Go without saying. All right. Or at least use the other hand. All right. Awesome. Put your thumbs up. All right, we start with, we praise the Heavenly Father because he is awesome. God puts the awe in awesome, right? All right, awesome. Second finger, what does this look like? Pew, 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 pew. Yeah, that's right. What do you do? Someone's pointing the pew, pew at you. You surrender, right? Surrender. God, not our will. Not your kingdom. Oh, sorry, not my kingdom. Your kingdom. Not my purposes, your purpose. Not my heart desire what I want to see happen. God, what do you want to see happen? Surrender your kingdom. And the third one, three word, three letters, A-S-K, ask. God, this is what I need. Ask for what you need. Okay? Four, forgive. Forgive. I receive forgiveness, I extend forgiveness. Forgive. And then five, stop. Stop. Keep me from temptation. Don't lead me the wrong way. Keep Satan at bay. Deliver me. Bring me to the other side of these trials. You got it? All right, I want you to repeat after me. We're going to go through these real quick. Put your hands up. I want you to repeat after me. Awesome. Surrender. Ask. Forgive. Stop. One more time. Faster. Faster. All right, you guys did great. All right. So it starts with awesome, right? What's the verse? What's verse 9 say? Pray then like this, this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. God is awesome. So we start prayer with worship. See, what Jesus is inviting us to is Jesus, you know, there was no other Jew that I could have found in history before the time of Jesus who would have ever personally been calling God their Father. Sometimes in the Old Testament, corporately, Israel refers to God as Father, but individually, personally, calling God Father is something that up until Jesus started calling God my Father. And he is inviting his disciples to approach God as our Father. And once you are in Christ, once you follow Jesus, once you trust him, you receive God as your Father, and you also receive his family. It's our Father, not just my Father. You have brothers and sisters in Christ. And the reason why it starts with worship is because what Jesus is inviting you to do is to approach the sovereign ruler and creator of you and all things. He is the Lord over the unseen realm, countless creatures, both on earth and in heaven. He holds you and the universe together. He holds your molecules together by his simple pleasure, by his wish. The very air you breathe is a gift. And Jesus is telling you to approach the unapproachable, to ascend to the transcendent, to speak to the ineffable creator, one and true God. And in his presence, what does Jesus say? How do you address this God? Dad? Father. Father. If you have any inkling to what it means that God is both infinitely vast and transcendent and sovereign and over all things, and at the same moment, intimately caring about you, knowing you, and inviting you to approach him as Father. If you, the vastness and the nearness of God at the same time, and as you approach that, you are worshiping. That's the only way you can respond. We start with worship. We praise God for who he is. Some of you are here because you might be connected to the family, but you don't know the Father. There are some here who can't tell the difference between identifying as a Christian, being connected to this church or another church, doing Christian things, and having a relationship with the God of the universe and knowing God as your Father. Some of you, and some of you listening online, really you've been faking it, but you're hanging in there because you're curious and you're just still wondering if this relationship with God is really real and really out there. And if that's you, if you're not sure if you know the Father personally, that you've been faking it, what I want to tell you is, welcome. Welcome. We are so glad that you're here. We're so glad that you're listening online. Jesus, as he's inviting his disciples to discover God's heart for them in prayer, is going to invite them to go to the Father and simply ask for forgiveness. If you do not know the Father, this is a good day for you. This might be the very best day of your life, because today is the day where you can receive God's love and forgiveness for you, and that God would truly become your Father, and that you would receive a new family, and you would receive a new life. Jesus, as he's teaching his disciples this, and he's teaching us this, he's teaching them this knowing that he's going to go to the cross for their forgiveness. He's going to die paying the price of their debt for God, for your debt. Jesus is going to pray for you as he is on the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He's going to die forgiveness for your forgiveness. He's going to rise for your forgiveness. He's going to prove it. He's going to ascend to the Father and go in the presence of the Father who forgives you in Christ, and he's going to prepare a place for you. And he's on the throne, in the control center of the cosmos, and he is going to one day come back for you to bring you into all that God's purpose and plan and heart is for you. And you get to share in that bright future. So if you, that's you, this is a good day for you, because this is 100% the work of God. This is 100% the accomplishment of Jesus, and 0% your effort. 0% your sorrow. 0% your penitence. 0% you don't make a deal with God. He offers forgiveness by faith in Christ. The next part of that verse says, hallowed be thy name. The reason, what that means is, may the name of God, which he chose to be called Father, that name needs to be hallowed. Hallowed means holy, set apart, respected, revered. And what that reminds us of is that the Father's name, God's name, he is not holy, he is not set apart, he is not honored as he ought to in this world. Nor is he honored as he ought to in our lives. Each and every one of us. And so that leads us to the next part, to surrender. Next, verse 10, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So hands up. I'm not, it's not about God getting on board with my plan. It's about getting on board with God's plan. It's not about my kingdom or my future or my schemes. It's about God's kingdom purpose, God's heart, his desire for me, for my family, for my coworkers, for the customers that I serve, for the boss that I answer to. What is God's heart and desire for them? God, who is offering forgiveness to me, is also wanting to extend it to them. What is God's kingdom heart? And what this is an invitation to is to surrender to your own leadership, surrender to your own agenda, and to seek to know, to ask, to call down God's purpose, God's kingdom. So how do you get into this? How do you know what God's kingdom and his will is? The easiest, clearest way is to engage in God's word, right? As you read scripture, study it devotionally. What does this say about God and his character, about my Father? What does this say about his mission and his heart and his purpose, which points to the work of Christ? And if that's true, what does that mean for God's purpose and desire and plan in my life, specifically in my circumstances? specifically in this person's life. And engage. Ask God to make that happen. And as you do that, as you want what God wants, as you desire what God desires, then you can simply come to Him and ask. Ask. This one's simple. Do you just ask God for what you need? Do you need bread today? Do you need electricity today? What do you need? How many of you would like it if God would answer all of your prayers with a yes? It's not a trick question. I see a couple fingers up. Some people would like it. All right. How many of you would like that? Well, I don't know. I'm getting mixed signals for you guys. You guys awake? You here? All right. Would you guys like that or no? I hear some yeses. I hear some uhs. It's not a trick. All right, let me just show you something that Jesus says. Let's go to John. Let's get help. Jesus is going to bail me out here, okay? All right. John 15, verse 7. Here's the words of Jesus. This is what he says. Jesus says this, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Dave, is that health, wealth, gospel? Are you saying that if I ask for a BMW, that I'm going to BMW? What is the if? If you abide in me, if you trust in Jesus, if you remain in Jesus, if your life is in Jesus, and His words what? Abide in you, right? What that means is Jesus' leadership, His direction, His heart, His desires, His passion has more weight in your life than your feelings, has more weight in your life than the opinions of your friends, or the opinions of experts. Jesus has reign to lead you and teach you and guide you. And so as you're in Christ and His words are in your life and He's transforming you and changing you, you're going to want what God wants. You're going to desire what God desires. Your heart is going to be aligned with God's heart. And as you do that, guess what? What I want is your kingdom. God, save this friend of mine. Help this person to recover and to find Jesus. God, restore this relationship. God goes, that's aligned with my heart. I will grant it. I will give. I know what you need. You asked me for what you need, and I'm giving it because that is my will. That's how you find the will of God in prayer. Let Jesus lead you and guide you, and you can be free. You don't have to worry about if it's aligned with the will of God or not. If you want what God wants, if you're growing and desiring what God desires, desiring His kingdom, you can start asking and you can start praying, and the answers, right? You just trust in faith. So we ask. The alternative is James 4:3. James is pretty blunt. He says this. He says, "You ask and you don't receive because you have asked wrongly to spend it on your passions." The word here, passions, often in the Greek is referring to not just desires, but desires that are out of bounds or over desires, desiring something good too much. And a practical example of this is I hope I am a good father to my boys because my boys know the Reese's peanut butter cups are really good. The reason they know that is because if they ever get it, that they are to offer their good father a tithe of peanut butter cups. So they know this is a good thing. And so my boys, as they did not too long ago, came up and said, "Can I have one of these fun-size Reese's peanut butter cups before dinner?" "Yes, my son, please." "Can I have another one?" "Yes. They're good. Give me one too." can I have this family pack? No. You're going to throw up and I'm going to have to clean it up. No. Is that a good thing they're asking for? Yeah, it's a good thing. It's too much of a good thing, right? The problem is if you don't want what God wants, if you're not aligned with God's desires, is you're going to what you're going to want where you don't know if it's going to be off track or not. So press in to his kingdom, to his desires, want what he wants, and he'll give you what you need, and you can ask without shame. Then forgiveness. So forgive us our debts, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So the reason why we must forgive as well as ask forgiveness is because forgiveness is free, and because forgiveness is free, it has to be shared. What that means is that if you withhold forgiveness from somebody who wronged you, you're treating forgiveness as something that you earned or that you own and that you have the right to withhold. If God's will and God's heart is to extend forgiveness in Christ to other people, then to withhold it is to really to wish hell upon that person. And the invitation today is to come to the Father and receive forgiveness. And not just general malaise, forgive me for my trespasses. It's specifically. There are people here today. There is something that you have done that keeps replaying in your head. Some of you maybe never told this to anybody, but it's haunting you. Some of you, it's something that you didn't have a bad intention in doing it, but it really did hurt somebody. Your intentions were good, but your action was bad. And the reason why that's pricking your conscience is that it was still bad, it was still wrong. Some of you, it might even been that you had something or you had an ulterior motive and you had a bad motivation for doing it, and you ended up not hurting anybody and getting away, and nobody noticed that you did this thing. But it's still haunting you. God's given each and every one of us a conscience, and when our conscience pricks us of those sorts of things, that is to tell us that they're wrong, that we need to go to God and ask Him for forgiveness, and that the Father is inviting you to bring specific things to Him for forgiveness. And may not one of us pass by without laying something that God is putting on our heart to Him and asking God for forgiveness. And there are some of you who've been hurt by somebody. I don't think there's one of us who haven't been hurt by somebody. I was just told the other day, actually I was told earlier, you know, it kind of hurt when you said that you don't like the movie Princess Bride. You thought that movie was silly and stupid, and you said some other things about it. I love that movie. That really hurt that you said that. I was like, I had no idea. I didn't want to hurt your feelings, man. But thanks for telling me. I'll be careful about a Princess Bride in front of you. I'm sure it's a fine movie for some of you. And I know how to pray for you too. Here's the thing. Before I'm a pastor, I'm your brother. And you know what? If you belong to the Father, you also belong to the family. And family, we're going to hurt each other. We're going to hurt each other. It's going to happen. One of the things that many of us struggle with is that some people think, you know, I did something and it was so bad, I don't know if I can. I know God says He can forgive me, but I can't forgive myself. I had someone text this to me the other day. I don't think I can forgive myself. And I told this person what I'm going to tell you. That is a lie of Satan from the pit of hell. Let me ask you this. If I say, I can't forgive myself, and God says, you're forgiven, who wins? If God says yes, and I say no, then the answer, kids, help me here. If I say no, and God says yes, what's the answer? Yes. Yeah, who do you think you are, right? Who do you think wins, God or you, right? At the cost of his son, Jesus Christ, Jesus died for your sins. He rose again, taking all of your shame, all of the punishment for your sin, and you're going to look at that and say, I'm bigger than that. I'm unforgivable. God wants to forgive you, and there's nothing that he cannot forgive. There's no debt that Christ did not pay. Some of you are holding forgiveness back from somebody who hurt you. There's something specific that happened to you that's haunting you every single day. That there's some people here, and there's some people listening online who this thing has been defining their lives because they can't escape the trauma or the memory or the guilt. And it's tainting everything. One thing that really keeps many of us from extending forgiveness to those we need to forgive is we confuse the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. These are two different things that Jesus taught about. I would commend Matthew 18 to you for further study, but here's the gist of it. Forgiveness is one person deciding in their heart, in the presence of God, I am not going to harbor ill will towards that person. I'm going to trust God as the judge, and I'm not going to wish ill on that person. I'm going to wish what God wants for that person, that's what I want. I'm not going to be happy at their misfortune. I'm not going to celebrate their failure. I'm not going to desire and wait for, in my heart, for them to experience the same pain on them that I experienced. I release them from indebtedness to me to pay me back for the harm they've done. And I give it to you, God. Anyone can do that, right? Reconciliation are two people, both humbly listening to each other, forgiving and being forgiven, and putting the past behind them and starting the relationship new. Some of you have someone you need to forgive that you might never see again. Or nor should you. Some of you have someone you need to forgive that has died. Some of you have someone you need to forgive that will probably never listen to you, who might not ever come around. But the Father is calling you to forgive as he extends forgiveness to you. All right, let's look at the final result of the poll. So is it that last one that got the vote? Can we pull up the poll, please? All right, yep, it's D. Y'all are like me, shiny object syndrome, all right. All right, here's an encouragement. If you have struggled staying focused on prayer, let me encourage you, lean into that, all right? I don't know. I remember reading a biography of Martin Luther, the great reformer. You know, he has a background of being what was he again? Not a priest. He was a priest, but he was a monk. Yeah, a monk. He talked about how he would pray for 2 hours before he'd start his day. Okay, guys, that is not me. All right? That is not me. All right? Sometimes I feel guilty because I'm not like a water hose prayer. Like, it's not constantly coming out. I can't sit down and just, like, pray nonstop for an hour. I'm more like a machine gun prayer. And maybe you can join me and, like, this year could be like a machine gun prayer kind of thing. All right? So what that means is, like, man, I'm driving down the street, and I'm just like, God, you're awesome. Thank you for this day. This is beautiful. God, what do you want for this meeting that's coming up to? I'm nervous, so I just ask for your help to what to say, and that I just represent you well today. And forgive me for my anxiety. I just care too much about what this person thinks of me. God, I give that to you. And then just keep me from temptation. All right. Oh, look at Dunkin' Donuts, you know? And then I just keep doing that, right? And just maybe that's a step forward for us, all right? Okay. It ends with, lead us not into temptation. Stop, all right? So when you pray for this, it's good to be specific because usually when you sin, right, when we do wrong, it's usually not the actions. The temptation usually starts a number of steps before that. So I'll tell you when temptation usually starts with me. It usually starts with when I'm tired, when I'm anxious, and when I want me time. That's when I most likely and most quickly can be harsh, selfish, grumpy. So what is the moment? What is the time? When is it that you tend to fall into temptation? And as you pray and ask God to protect you, to keep you from temptation, you know, maybe think in your heart and maybe plan out in your mind, like, when is the time that I'm most likely to do that? And I say this because I'm concerned for many of you. Because I do know that there are some of you, and I believe this, that the Holy Spirit is putting his finger right now on something very specific that you need to come to our Father to ask forgiveness for. He's putting his finger on something specific that was done to you by someone, and you still harbor ill will, hatred. You wish they would get what's coming to them. And God's inviting us to bring it before him, to forgive and to receive forgiveness. And the reason why I'm worried about you is many of us, for many years, I've heard the gospel very clearly, and I say, one of these days, I'll get things figured out. I'll get it straightened out. And I gave Satan time, and Satan loves time. Because he used that time to make the gospel confusing to me again, to make me think that there's some hoops I had to jump through, that I had to clean up my life first, that I had to perform, that I had to look more Christian before I truly became a Christian. It wasn't until the penny dropped and I truly responded when I heard the call to receive God's love and forgiveness that I did change. And for some of you, the call is right now. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for many, many years and you've been walking with Jesus and there's something fresh and something new the Holy Spirit brought up that you need to bring before him, or if this is the first time you came to God, you're going to come to God without trying to barter with him or make a deal. You're just going to receive it because it was purchased for you freely at the cost of his son. So to avoid that, what I want to do is I want us to pray and to come to God for forgiveness together. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to respond this way. I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray with me in your heart. If what I say is what you agree with me in your heart. And then there'll be a time where you can bring some certain things that maybe is on your heart, and you can bring before the Father and asking for forgiveness or extending forgiveness in your heart to others. So let's close in prayer. Father, you are awesome. And it is at the cost of your son, Jesus, that we can even call you Father this morning. You are the awesome King of the universe, and you love me. You adopted me, and you are my Father. And I don't deserve it. And you love me, and I love you. I surrender to you. I surrender to your plan to forgive me, your desire to forgive me, your offer to forgive me freely, and not just me, but everyone here and everyone I know and care about. That is your desire. And so may your desire, Father, be fulfilled. And may it start here, right now with me, in the lives of those that you've put around me. And so we ask, God, we ask that you give us the strength in this moment. God, bring to mind the moments and the wrongs and the regrets that I've been carrying. And in silence, we'll bring these to mind and lay them before you for your forgiveness. Forgive me, Father, for these. Free my heart to forgive others and to live out your forgiveness. And so I ask for another thing, Father. Give me resolve right now and bring to mind now, God, if there's any person or action against me that I have yet to forgive. Not something that I've asked forgiveness a long time ago and has been buried. Not something that I'm digging up again. But God, what is it that I have ignored that is nagging at me, that has hurt me? What is it that's caused me to hate somebody, to want to see harm fall on them, or to see them hurt as I was hurt? Jesus, you died for these so that I can forgive them. You took the pain and the anger and the injustice so I don't have to carry it every day. So I forgive from the heart. Even if they don't ever change, I forgive. Even if I won't see reconciliation in this life, I forgive, because I know Jesus died for this. And I know if reconciliation doesn't happen in this life, your heart is for them to have your forgiveness as well, and you can reconcile us in the future you have for us in heaven. Guide us away from the temptations and the things that would lead us away from your forgiveness. We love you. Bring us on the other side of the temptations that will come because you love us, for the sake of and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, at this point, we're going to respond to forgiveness by taking the Lord's Supper, communion together. And just so you know, if you walked in, you should have been able to receive one of these. Lord's Supper communion is open to anyone who is a believer in Jesus. So if you trust in Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, you're invited to take communion with us. It is a tangible example and way to celebrate the forgiveness we have in Christ because of his sacrifice. The bread represents his body, the blood, the cup represents the new covenant, his blood poured out for us. Nothing special about taking communion. What it is, it's a way for us to celebrate that we trust in Jesus for our forgiveness. There might be some of you who for the first time receive forgiveness from God without trying to bargain with him. For the first time, truly received it as a gift. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome. You're invited to take communion with us as well. This is just a way to celebrate that you trust in Jesus. All right, so in light of that, I want to read the Lord's Supper from Matthew. So this is what Jesus says. Jesus says this, "And when they were eating, Jesus took the bread, after blessing it, broke, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take this, take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" Let's prepare to celebrate together. We'll start with the bread. Let's eat. Let's celebrate with the cup, the symbol of the blood of Jesus, the new covenant for our forgiveness. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we continue our worship of you in song, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you that you invite us to approach you and to know you as Father, and to know your love for us, and to know your purpose and your will for us, and to know your heart and desire is for us to live in freedom and forgiveness in a relationship with you, and to extend that to others. God, may that be known in our city, in our country, and in our lives. We continue to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.